Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're talking about itty bitty podcast.
Merry Mini Monday Chunkies. I'm Carter.
Doge.
Jordan.
Does it feel like, do you kind of have a Star Wars hangover?
Big time.
Yeah, big time.
We talked about Star Wars
for
It doesn't help
that I'm playing Fallen Order right now and also reading several Legends novels.
Yes. So. I had to do a hard cut on Star Wars content.
I think ever since Star Wars was bought by Disney, it has been continuous. I feel like there has been Star Wars stuff to talk about every week.
Yeah.
And it is consistently caught.
Yep.
In the news.
Ooh.
So if you follow us on Twitter, you already know this, but Clone Wars is
returning.
Clone Wars is returning for its final season.
Big boy excited about that.
February 21st. Yeah. Are you sad it's the final season?
I am sad.
Does it feel like it's a good place to stop? Because I am not caught up.
So here's the thing. I am excited for more Clone Wars. And I believe that Disney has mishandled the Star Wars brand pretty catastrophically. And I am nervous that Disney might also be sinking their white mouse glove hands into another part of Star Wars that I love and making it fit more with their Disney Star Wars, which I don't so much
love. It's still Filoni, though.
It is, but it's still Disney.
Yeah, but so is The Mandalorian, and that was awesome.
That's true.
So, we'll see. Who knows?
I have a theory that when we move beyond the episodes in Star Wars and we start to shift into just like telling stories in the Star Wars universe and movies, it's going to be a lot easier for us to let go of what Star Wars should be and just like enjoy new Star Wars.
Absolutely.
I think if this like ethereal new trilogy that they talk about, which I think they might have signed, is Rian Johnson signed for that?
He was originally.
He was, and then they haven't said anything about it
in like a year. I think if they go make movies still kind of in universe with just some of the basic, like the Force exists or maybe things like that, that could potentially be some of the best Star Wars stuff Disney can do.
Yeah.
Because they're out of the weight of.
Well, we talked about before, like the Jedi Knight series with like Kyle Katarn. That's such an interesting story.
Go back to the Old Republic. The way that the rumor of them going back to the Old Republic that's set 900 years before the Phantom Menace. Have you all seen that? There's the rumor that it's set 900 years before the Phantom Menace, which is boring because in the Phantom Menace, we have a line that says there've been no Sith for a millennium.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, what are they going to do? You know what I mean?
Like, they're fighting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Unless the whole thing is that there were just operating in the shadows kind of a thing.
Sure.
But I'm going to take this opportunity to issue an official apology to Rian Johnson for my malice. because I stand by my opinions on The Last Jedi. I'm not apologizing for that.
Sure.
But man, he's just so good. And I just think he just fumbled it. I think that's all it was.
He's a good director who made a bad Star Wars.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, do we say it's his fault? Like,
no,
who hired him?
Because I think giving him the freedom to just like take it and run, I think is a golden idea. And I think if it's just like, it's not something we're previously attached to and he's able to tell the story, because he's a masterful storyteller.
100%.
And so I think if we give him, hey, just take some Star Wars and just run with it, I think we're in for a real treat.
Yeah, but I think having him do that as the middle chapter of a series that would have been at the time began and ended by two different people.
Yeah.
was a big mistake.
Yeah. I think Star Wars is far too powerful of a franchise and one of the most in cinema, maybe the most powerful franchise in terms of its influence on culture, that it's too big of a deal for people to say there's a bad taste in their mouth from The Last Jedi. I'm not going to see this new trilogy because it's Rian Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's too big of a deal for that.
It doesn't stop us. You think they won't do it? Is what you're saying?
No, I think they will do. I think if they do it, it's not going to hold anybody back.
He's working on.
Oh, I hear you.
He's working on the Knives Out sequel though, right now.
Is that for real? Uh-huh.
So he talked about
they're going to keep using. So it's almost like a Agatha Christie type thing. It's like they're going to keep using Hercule Daniel Craig's
Poirot
character. Yeah, another adventure of
Benny. Totally. Benoit Blanc. Oh my gosh, totally down for that.
Yeah, me too.
Totally down because I was so surprised by that movie.
Oh, so good
because I thought it would be good.
You know, he's up for an Oscar for that best original screenplay.
He is. Knives Out has like 4 nominations.
I hope he wins.
Same. If there was like an ensemble cast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like,
see, you say that, but wasn't it up for that at the SAG Awards and still got beat by
Parasite?
Parasite?
Yeah, Parasite did beat it.
Good call. Have we recorded since I watched Parasite?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's so good, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm excited. I want to watch it very, very soon.
Same.
Oscar season. Speaking of Oscars.
Big time.
It's basically the of cinema. And they're a week apart.
The big game of
the big
cinema.
Game.
Can't
cinema.
We can't say the SB word.
Can we bleep that out when he said that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. We can't say that. I'm like, I don't know. How do we do these?
They'll send the hounds.
They will send the
of
hounds.
Of Anubis.
USA Today had an interesting article that came out because I know that I do particularly, and I think so do the co-hosts here, hold some weight as to if something wins an Oscar, but it is never without controversy. Like sometimes there's movies that win and you say, duh, like everybody thought that was going to happen.
Right.
And then sometimes there's some controversial wins, which kind of takes away from the momentum that comes from, or the reverence that is held with Oscars that win Best Picture.
It makes it seem less valid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so USA Today actually put together a list that I'd love to share with you guys of movies that won and the movies that year that were in the same category that should have won.
Oh, okay.
I think it's an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah.
But we start in 1942. Okay. What
Several
won that
of
year?
My favorite films released that
Here's
year.
Here's what's crazy though. What won that year was How Green Was My Valley. You ever heard of that?
No.
No.
Same. What should have won, they say, is Citizen Kane.
Whoa. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane did not win Best Picture and is regarded as one of the best movies of all time. Like the super, I'm not going to say snooty, because I can hear some of the arguments there in terms of groundbreaking and storytelling.
The Criterion Collection crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In 1953, The Greatest Show on Earth won. High Noon is what people think should have won.
Okay.
And I know way more about, in these older movies, in the older nominations, it's like, okay, the ones that I recognize are the ones that they're saying should have won, which maybe there's some sense there. 1967, A Man for All Seasons. What should have won is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which I've never seen, but I've heard of. 1974, The Sting, which is actually a really good movie, but what should have won is The Exorcist.
Oh,
they think
wow.
especially because of what that did for horror.
For horror,
and cinema. This was not your Halloween or like I'm Chasing You Down kind of thing.
Has a true horror film ever won Best Picture?
Get Out didn't win.
Get Out got close.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Genre fiction historically does not do well in that Best Picture category. That's why I was so happy. I did not love The Shape of Water, but I was happy that it won.
Yeah.
Just for what that represents in terms of storytelling through genre fiction.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. There's like genre fiction, but then there's also like a revisionist history. Because if Tarantino wins for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's not necessarily, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it's playing with something that actually did happen. So I don't know if that counts.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. 1980, Kramer versus Kramer won.
Right.
Which actually Kramer versus Kramer is one of the very few movies that has swept the top five. Best picture, screenplay, best actor, director, and best actress.
Hmm.
Silence of the Lambs has done that as well. What should have won is Apocalypse Now. I didn't know Apocalypse did not win for best picture. 1982, Doge, you're going to love this. 1982, what did win was Chariots of Fire, which USA Today goes on to say it's like it's basically only known for that slow-mo running scene.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have picked something that was known for doing a lot more for cinema, which what should have won is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Absolutely.
That's 1982.
Cool.
I completely agree with
that one.
And it says like that, it's funny how much influence a Best Picture winner gets on movies after that, because what if Raiders had won?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden now, does the Academy start to say, well, this kind of movie has won an Oscar before.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime we do something like this,
We should think about it.
Yeah. Let's think about it. Like any new installment of something like that. I really like that. 1986 Out of Africa won. What should have won was The Color Purple.
Okay.
Which that was a pretty significant movie.
Yeah.
What did win in 1990 was Driving Miss Daisy, which we talked about a lot about this time last year because of its similarities to Green Book. And what should have won was Field of Dreams. I don't know how much I agree with that.
I do like that movie though.
95. This one's tough. 1995 was loaded for Best Picture, but what did win was Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is an argument that what should have won was Pulp Fiction.
No, I love Pulp Fiction,
which I don't know.
Yeah, that's hard.
Forrest Gump is iconic.
So is Pulp Fiction, but I love Pulp Fiction. I'm a Tarantino apologist. I think his movies are great. I think that Forrest Gump is a better movie.
Yeah. 1997. What did win is The English Patient.
Okay.
And I think this one might have been the one that most movie people knew the controversy around because it's used as a joke. It's like a punchline in a lot of shows and movies. It's like, no, but like half the world didn't even get what that was about. There's a whole Seinfeld episode of seeing The English Patient. And because it's either Jerry, I can't remember who it is. It might be Jerry, because he doesn't like the movie. Everybody's like, what on, you don't like the movie? Like everyone's giving him such a hard time.
Yeah.
Here's what should have won, they say. And oh my gosh, Fargo.
Oh, wow.
Fargo didn't win Best Picture. The Coen brothers are some of my favorite directors.
I love.
They were almost your pick for Choosers' Choice, right?
They were so close to my pick for Choosers' Choice. And Fargo is one of their best, if not their best movies. 1999, Shakespeare in Love won, which I actually love that movie. But it beat Saving Private Ryan.
That's surprising.
Super surprising.
That's tough.
Million Dollar Baby won in 2005. The Aviator, they say, should have won, which I've never seen. All I knew was Kate Blanchett did like a dead-on Katharine Hepburn.
Well, there's a good song in that one.
There is a good song.
About my gal. If you listen to tomorrow's Patreon episode, you'll know exactly what that song is.
2006, Crash won. Brokeback Mountain, they say, should have won, which I'm surprised. In my mind, Brokeback Mountain won Best Picture.
Yeah, it did.
The King's Speech in 2011, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But they say what should have won was Black Swan. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then finally, 2019. This made me feel good about us.
Uh-huh.
They said Green Book should not have won.
Should have been Black Panther, right?
No.
Black Klansman.
Yes.
That's what they said.
Yes.
Should
that was
have
my
won.
Choice too.
Yeah. So.
It was so good.
Way to go. It's incredible.
That movie
USA
ruled.
Today just got a little bit more high on the list for a credible source about film there for me.
Yeah. We compared them to us.
They're right behind Two Chunks and a Hunk. I want to play a game.
Yay.
Not any of the fun new games that you're going to hear.
Yeah. If you're a Patreon, by the way, keep your eyes open tomorrow. Keep your peepers peeled.
Yuck.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes. Oh. I love this game.
This was named by Doge. It's a perfect name for this game. I'm starting to talk slow like King's Speech does, and I don't know why.
It's a perfect name.
I must enunciate
this game.
Rumpelstiltskin goes like this. I feel like I had to rhyme after that. It had a nice rhythm.
Yeah, it was good.
Guess the name or else you'll miss.
Ooh. We might have to keep that. We need to have like a little Rumpelstiltskin guy saying that in the background. Anyways, I'm going to have three synopsis that I read from Rotten Tomatoes, and the two of these two pretty boys have to try and guess the name
of
the movie.
Are we the pretty boys?
Yeah.
Are they late?
The guys behind you.
Oh, what's up?
Oh my God, they're gorgeous.
Wow.
They have to guess the name of this movie. Here's what's fun about this movie and why it feels like it has a lot of momentum on this show is y'all are pretty good at this. Right? I mean, I feel like y'all have gotten...
Remember that
Ip Man?
Remember the time I guessed Ip Man 4?
Get
almost
out of
perfectly.
Here. Didn't even know there were three Ip Mans before that. And so I've got a few here for you. Our first movie releases... Well, it has released by the time this episode releases. But last Friday, this movie came out. Cape, a restless, curious, and smart yellow kitten, lives in a high-rise apartment with his father Blanket and a lively parrot named Mac. Cape dreams of adventure outside of his sheltered home, whereas Blanket prefers the safety of staying indoors. When Cape learns about a mythical land where cats can live freely and happily, he sets out on a quest to find it. What is the name of this movie?
A Tale of Two Kitties.
Oh, that's so good, Doge. That's I don't really even want to give my answer.
I mean, I know it's not that.
That's so good. Should be, though. I was going to give it a security blanket.
That's great. It's either you either guess it close or you guess something that's better. Cat?
It's called,
which was probably both of y'all's second choices, Cats and Peachtopia.
Oh, what?
That Peachtopia.
Feels, that feels like that'd be a Fanta flavor that they serve exclusively at screenings of Cats.
This one's very simple. It also came out Friday. Rated R, 2 hours and 16 minutes. I'm sure that'll help you out.
Okay, so the kitties. Name is...
Detectives investigate a mysterious murder in Tokyo.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh,
that
no.
is supposed to be what gets you in theaters.
Wait. I love murders. Oh, my
gosh. A mysterious one?
I love murders in Tokyo.
Detectives investigate a mysterious murder in Tokyo. What's the name of this movie? I can't wait to reveal it.
I'm going to go simple and clean.
Okay.
The Tokyo Murders.
Doge?
I have an idea.
Okay.
And I know it's wrong. Detective Pikachu, The Tokyo Murders.
It is called Detective Chinatown 3.
Wait, Tokyo though?
That's the capital of China, obviously.
What on earth?
Definitely not. Detective Chinatown 3.
Yeah, this one's called NYPD. This time it's in Louisiana.
While doing research, a group of young geniuses stumble upon a secret terrorist plot. This is a Jim Carroll movie. If you don't remember, Jim Carroll has done flicks such as either the screen is not loading or Jim Carroll has done nothing. But look, guys, I don't think
you're
on his
Facebook page.
No, that's his Rotten Tomatoes, like what he's done in the past. Susan Gallagher's in here. Heidi Montag. Donnie Bowes, Anthony Crivello, David Joseph Martinez.
All my favorites.
Yeah. While doing research, a group of young geniuses stumble upon a secret terrorist plot.
What is this rated?
It's not.
It's not. Nothing. Okay.
And it comes out. Yeah, it came out Friday. There's no rating. I don't know how it's getting out there.
This one stumps you, huh? Okay, got it. Terror Interns.
Baby Geniuses 3, : The Final Fight.
The Final Real Fight. I'm going to read this title to you.
Oh,
and I think it's just now that I'm realizing how revisionist this might be and how sacrilegious this might be. This movie is called Assassin 33 AD.
Huh?
Which I believe is the age of Christ.
They're going to kill Jesus.
But it's a terrorist plot
to go back in time and kill Jesus.
What?
This is wild. I have to see this.
So it might be somewhere. I don't know where you're going to find it, but it might be somewhere. I have no idea.
What?
Finally, the last thing to do before we technically end the episode is I'd love to do a little yes or pass.
Oh, yes. Please.
Yes or pass is something that you will not only see on Mini Mondays. It's something that we can legitimately. So in this sense, when we're playing yes or pass, we're saying whether or not we feel like we would go to the theaters to see that. There'll be something for our Patreon members, our official chunkies, that we throw yes or pass out there to tell you something that we have already seen. And if it is worth going to the theaters to see.
Yeah.
So this would be spending your money to go out there. But let's do a little yes or pass for January 31st, this coming Friday. That's February 7th. Let's do it anyways. Birds of Prey.
Oh, that's a hard pass.
Big pass.
Definitely not going to try it.
Nope.
I don't think close. I am either. I just hope that Ali Wong gets some money from there. it has no rating yet. Valentine's Day, Sonic the Hedgehog.
That might be a yes for me, weirdly. Yes.
Really? Yeah. I'm a pass on that. Have you all heard of The Lodge?
No.
Nope.
It's a classic, like, winter cabin, scary movie. It's got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. But I'm guessing because you haven't heard of it, is it a yes or pass?
It's going to be a pass, but I want to see it.
It's a pass for me, too. Let's talk about what came out this last Friday, January 24th. The Gentleman.
That's a pass for me.
Pass.
I want it to be good.
Guy Ritchie movies are tons of fun. I'll tell you right now, it's got a 70% from critics and a 93% from viewers,
that
which feels like that's the vibe of Guy Ritchie movies.
It is Sherlock. Like, it just feels like Sherlock.
100%.
And that's fine.
Which we found out, interesting. If you remember, Sherlock is the highest grossing, one of the highest grossing February movies of
which
all
time.
Which
is wild. Yeah.
Completely wild. I guess Guy Ritchie likes these early year
movie. I mean, there's no competition. There's nothing else like this right now. So it's a smart time to release that movie.
Worth it. To end this episode, we have found out that the place where cats are free and can do whatever they want is called Peachtopia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not have it be called Peachtopia.
Yeah.
I want your name, and I want the actual name of the Valhalla for cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The place where all cats are free.
Yeah.
My name is Carter. Back alley. Where I happen to know with my own eyes, all cats are free. Just any alleyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
All cats are free.
They're escaping to back alley.
Yes.
But Cali is what we'll call it to make it sound more like a proper noun.
I'm Doge. And if there is one thing that I know for sure, and I'm willing to stake my life and livelihood on, it's that there are no cats in America. Fievel Goes West told me that. Actually, just the regular Fievel told me that. But if they're not in America, you might be asking, where are they? And I'll tell you, they're in the land to the north. It's called Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like Canada with a stuffy nose.
Canada. Canada.
That's very good.
What's the name of that Prime Minister of Canada?
Canada.
The pretty one.
I almost said Justin Thoreau. It's in The Leftovers.
I almost said Jacques Cousteau.
Cousteau, yeah. Cousteau.
He's exploring the Canadian Ocean.
So the actual place, this is based on my experience with cats, is a magical brown world called, they refer to it as the City Up, spelled T-H-I-S-S-I-D-E-U-P. And it's...
oh, wow.
It's just a big old cardboard box.
This side up.
So, yeah, they refer to it as the City Up.
Some creativity when it is far above anyone's head and it's just too good for this plane gets a Doge eye roll.
Okay. No, that was the eye roll of respect because Doge wishes that he had come up with that
exactly.
on his own.
The City
Up. I mean, let us smash that like button and subscribe. Let us know in the comments whether you like Canada or the City Up better.
Or, well, we are mine, I get it. Mine didn't.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.